Rajendra Roy.
There I am. Yep. Chief Curator of Film at the Museum of Modern Art.
So, Raj, you're here as every year since the last three or four to bring a restorated movie to the Venezia Festival,
yeah.
Which is the movie this year.
So this year's title is The Trial of Vivian Ware by William K. Howard. So it's a very unfamiliar film to most people and a very unfamiliar director. And the star is Joan Bennett, who is also rather unfamiliar. But we just had our first screening, the premiere, and the reaction was great. Everyone was really laughing along because it's a courtroom drama with tons of humor. Mm-hmm. And it just feels very modern, although it was made in the early 1930s. And it's amazing how far backwards in some ways we've gone from the kind of openness and adventurousness of cinema and storytelling, you know, almost 100 years ago, to some of the things you see today, which really feel retrograde or regressive. So it's fun to be here this year with a film that's unknown, and maybe reintroduce or introduce for the first time a director like Howard. It's a double bill with The Power and the Glory, a more famous title of his that was restored by 20th Century Fox, mm-hmm. our partners. Last year we had The Iron Mask with Douglas Fairbanks, so a big classic, and this year to bring a discovery is great, and it's a tribute to the openness of Venice classics. That they're willing to take a risk on a little film like this.
How do you work on this restoration project? I mean, how do you choose the movie to restore?
So this film in particular was a passion project for Dave Kerr, my colleague who's curator in the department and a noted film critic for many years who came to Venice in the 80s and 90s as a film critic, and he's here now as a curator. And he's just really passionate about getting people aware of William K. Howard's work and how influential he was. Specifically, we talked today about this idea of flashbacks, which everybody kind of thinks about Citizen Kane as the ultimate early, you know, story with that used a flashback as a fundamental tool, when really it was Howard that pioneered that technique. And it's so obvious in this film that he really originated that. So in this case, we chose to dive into Howard because Dave really is passionate about it and kind of knows more about him than anyone else in the field.
What is the process you have to go through in order to have these restorations be done? I mean, you have to fund it, you have to find partners to do it, or you do it by yourself?
It's exactly right. Why don't you do it? You could take it over, Angelo. No, I mean, look, that is really the key thing is collaboration. I mean, it takes partners from the origin, so the rights holders. So if, you know, in this case, we had the best material, the only existing material. I mean, one of the reasons Howard isn't known is because most of his films were made in a period in the 20s and 30s where there are no longer materials. There just isn't anything left, so it's impossible to see them. We had a nitrate negative of this film in the archive since the 70s, and so we worked from that material. But generally, you have to have great partners in terms of rights holders. You have to be able to find the material, so you have to have great partners in the archive world. So internationally, we work with Bologna, we work with Cinémathèque Française, we work obviously with the other U.S. archives. And then you're right, you have to fund it. So, you know, you have to go and find either, you know, resources within the institution or great sponsors. The Film Foundation, Martin Scorsese's organization has been great, obviously. And then ultimately you need great partners to find audiences, because if you just do these restorations and you either show them in your own screens or put them back on the shelf, okay, you can feel good that, you know, this is there for history, mm-hmm. but if nobody knows who this guy is or this film, they've never seen it, they can't tell someone, hey, I just saw this incredible film, it felt so fresh and it was made in the 30s. And that's where Venice comes in, and, you know, other festivals that have classic sections, Berlin, Cannes, obviously.
Also, I think because that if you don't show them, then you won't find any more funders later on.
They basically don't exist, you know. Yeah. So it's the full cycle, and I think that's something that I've really made an effort to put forward. You know, Angela and I know each other for almost 20 years now because of I come out of festivals. And so when I started running an archive, I knew that films don't exist unless people see them, right? You know, you really have to have an audience. So it was scary for some of my colleagues who are archivists and think that we people in exposition, you know, are just out there to exploit films and not treat them nicely. But I think we can treat them nicely and show them to the public.
Them
so.
Too. Listen, did it ever happen that not to be able to get in touch with the right orders for maybe a project that you wanted to work on, and then you couldn't because there is no one that can give you the permission to do anything?
You know, so much of the earlier work is now in the public domain, so mm-hmm. you search for the rights holders and then ultimately you move forward. But no, absolutely, there are some cases where either you don't find the rights holders and it's too much of a risk that you could do this work and then no one would see it, or actually some people are kind of actively withholding their material. I feel that that's dissipating because I think people understand now, especially with the disappearance of actual film, mm-hmm. that their work may just disappear, right? Their legacies will not exist unless they start partnering. And so I've seen a bit of an opening up on that front, and uh-huh. it's pretty rare at this point where someone says, oh, you're interested in investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in, you know, restoring my work? No, thank you. No, that doesn't really happen anymore.
So what's your, besides the restoration projects, what is your job at the MoMA? I mean, why not? I'm serious. I'm not laughing.
No, it's, you know, we've seen each other for years at festivals going to screenings. I think the big change for me was being an administrator. So being the guy who has to make sure everything, the lights are turned on, basically. So I spend a lot of time in meetings, which is hard, you know, the administrative stuff. And Alberto and I talk about it. Alberto Barbera and I talk a lot about, you know, that side of it is hard, the administrative side. And I know it's not uncomplicated in Italy to get things done.
Come on.
So it is also, you know, that's part of it. So, but look, I think the great thing about festivals is that they nurture filmmakers, they nurture critics, they also nurture executives in terms of the infrastructure. And festivals are part of film culture more and more. You know, the audiences are familiar with them. It's a way that a lot of the public has their first interactions with artists by going to Q&A sessions. And I think it takes a constant renewal of talent to build festivals as well. So as I and we enter the middle phase of our lives as festival people, it's great to see younger people, you know, coming up, really brilliant people coming up with innovative ideas of presentation, whether they, you know, involve digital strategies, online platforms, etc. It's just great. And, you know, at a certain point, I'll just be the guy in the back of the room enjoying the movies again. but for now, yeah, I go to a lot of meetings.
Okay. So, do you have any question to ask?
Oh, one thing I could pitch is MoMA's 80th anniversary of
being birthday.
What was that?
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. We're actually launching that celebration here. So it's 80 years of film at MoMA. So the museum is about 90 years old, but mm-hmm. right from the origin, film was there. So it's the oldest film department at any institution museum in the world, and one of the oldest. So we're happy to launch that celebration here in Venice.
And what will be the celebration?
So the celebration isn't any one thing. It's a series of events that starts here and runs for the next year mm-hmm. where we highlight activities that we do normally. So restorations, discoveries, you know, interacting with emerging talents at mm-hmm. our New Directors Festival. So there'll just be events that pop up throughout the year. Our big kind of gala event is a tribute to Cate Blanchett in November mm-hmm. in New York. And, you know, she's just epitomizes a lot of what we embrace, smart, talented, innovative thinking, and, frankly, the strength of women in the field. The film department at MoMA was founded by a woman, has been led by a woman for most of its history. I unfortunately don't fit into that pattern myself, but we definitely have a strong legacy of women guiding us. So to honor Cate, who I think has really championed both women artists and audiences, is a great opportunity. So,
and you're right. You are totally right. Okay, so thanks a lot, Rajendra Roy, to be our guest.
Pleasure.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.